Hey, what's up, guys? You're now listening to Devo with Uncle Theo. Today is day 109, and we're going to cover 2 Samuel chapters 21 and 22. David is back on the throne. Remember, he was struggling to get his power back and both of the nations united, and he has it, but his strength isn't as strong as it used to be. But remember what God said. He said, the sword will come through your house. And that's just not his own personal house we saw with his own children. But he just can't get the unity of the nation that he once had. And so interestingly, in chapter 21, we get a story about the Gibeonites. You remember them from Joshua, where we discussed how Joshua didn't seek the Lord. And this caused the Gibeonite deception when Joshua hastily made a vow with these people. And it had to be honored. Saul didn't honor this vow. He was extinguishing the Gibeonites. And this is what chapter 21 is about. God brings that back up and David has to deal with it. So listen to verse 1. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David sought the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, it is for Saul and his bloody house because he has put the Gibeonites to death. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not the sons of Israel, but a remnant of the Amorites. And the sons of Israel made a covenant with them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. Thus David said to the Gibeonites, what should I do for you, and how can I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? Then the Gibeonites said to him, we have no concern of silver or gold with the house of Saul, nor is it for us to put any man to death in Israel. And David says, I'll do for you whatever you say. They say, just let 7 men from his sons be given to us, referring to Saul, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord. And the king said, I will give them. And David holding true on his covenant, on his vow with Mephibosheth, it says, but the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the oath of the Lord, which was between them, between David's and Saul's sons, Jonathan. And now you'll get a list of the 7 people that he did give over, the 2 sons of Rizpah. And you see Mephibosheth's name come up here again. Don't get confused by that. Remember, it's so much overlap with names. Many people get named the same thing many times, which is, we see that today, right? Which is why they're juniors and the thirds and all of that. So this is not the Mephibosheth that he's saying. It's not a contradiction here. This is Saul's son, Mephibosheth, not Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who we've been talking about. So they select all of them. In verse 9, he gave them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the mountain before the Lord, so that the 7 of them fell together, and they were put to death in the first days of harvest at the beginning of the barley harvest. So one of the daughters keeps watch over the bodies to make sure to ward off any birds or any predators. And it says, when David heard about this, he took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, who had stolen them from the open square at Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them on the day the Philistines struck down Saul in Gibeah. He brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from there, and gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. They buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, in the country of Benjamin of Zelah, in the graves of Kish, his father. Thus they did all the Lord commanded. And after that, God was moved by prayer for the land. So we don't know how David was able to figure this out. It's just divine revelation. But he was able to connect this Gibeonite slaughter by Saul to why they were having a famine. And once he solves that in his prayer, it says that the Lord moved again. And then we get a few more battles. And there's something interesting here. They're going out to fight against the Philistines. And David is there. And one of the guys girded his new sword and was intended to kill David. But Abishai helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. And the man said to David, look, you shall not go out to battle again. Now, this is different. This isn't David sitting back, being lazy, getting content. This is David getting old, and our guy is old. He's about to die soon, and we're about to see the successor come on the scene in the very next book. And so they tell David, look, you can't go out to battle with us. You're very important. Remember, just last time, one of the statements was made that you're more important than 10,000 soldiers. If cut the head off, the body will fall too. And so they protect David. In verse 19, there was a war with the Philistines. Brother of Goliath comes up for battle. Verse 20 says he has a great stature and he has 6 fingers and 6 toes on each hand and each foot for a total of 24 in number. And he also had been born to the giant. And when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck him down. These 4 were born to the giant of Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant. So we see those battles, and we move into chapter 22. And chapter 22 is just a beautiful song by David. And David just breaks out in song a lot. He breaks out in song to lament. He breaks out in song to praise. He breaks out in songs of judgment. And so no wonder David writes majority of the Psalms in our book of Psalms, because he's such a prolific writer, poet, musician, a warrior, a leader. He had a lot of giftedness from the Lord. There's a lot of parallels with this in Psalm 18. And you see a lot of overlap even with this song and Hannah's song as well. So let's look at a little of it before we close out. And David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in a day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies, for the ways of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help came to his ears. And the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of heaven were trembling and were shaken because he was angry." So listen to that. Listen to what David is saying. He's saying, "The Lord is my fortress and my refuge." And you got to think about that. He was in the wilderness running from Saul. He was running from Absalom, and his life was on the line. He had no home. He had no refuge. He had no fortress. So in the midst of all of that chaos, in the middle of barrenness and nothingness, he had a refuge in the Lord. And he was able to take comfort in the Lord, no matter how hard of circumstances he was going through. We just have to take note of this. False Christianity promises us a false sense of security. It promises us happiness. It promises us a peace where there is no peace. It promises us prosperity and health and all of these temporal things that God doesn't necessarily promise. But what God promises is the fruit of the Spirit. He can give you peace, joy, patience, faithfulness, self-control, goodness, humility, all these things in the midst of a wilderness, in the midst of calamity, in the midst of going through many trials. And this is something we need to grab a hold to, that the Lord is our fortress in whom we will trust. We would not put our hope in another, in man, possessions, in position or performance. And David got that right, which is why he was a man after God's own heart. Even in the midst of all of the sin he committed, he called the Lord his shield, which meant no man could touch him because God protected him. And I like to think of life like this. We're all invincible until we're not. We all have a birth date that we can't control and a death date that we can't control. And if you're looking at a tombstone, the only thing you can control is that dash in the middle. Within that dash, where the 40, 60, 80 plus years, you can vow to be a lover of Jesus, like Mephibosheth showed us how to love a king. That's who you take your notes from. You can worship well and truly become a worshiper and check your motives and make sure your motives are pure in everything you do for God. And doing those things from a heart of humility, those tweaks alone will create a supernatural Christian on fire for the Lord all the days of his life. That's going to cause you to latch on properly so you can truly desire the sincere milk of the word to grow and be a man or woman of prayer. David says in verse 29 that you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness, which David is acknowledging that God is responsible for his path and the direction that he's gone, even the affliction. We'll see in Psalm 119 that David will say, God, in your faithfulness, you have afflicted me. If you can get to that point in your theology, you have arrived, my friend, not to perfection, but to maturity. And the psalm ends like this. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. He is a tower of deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. And that's true, because guess who one of his descendants is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed that we've been tracking. And we're looking for him, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to him every day that we walk through the Old Testament. And he'll come on the scene for us in the New Testament. But he's already been walking around and doing things throughout the Old Testament. We've seen him. He just hadn't taken on flesh yet, but he's still here and with David and with his people, for he is God and he is a strong tower. And God promises that if you run to him, you'll find safety. Don't leave your head defenseless, my friend. You guys take care.